More than 30 years ago, before jazz arranger Gil Evans became known for his collaborations with Miles Davis on now classic albums like Miles Ahead, Porgy and Bess, and Sketches of Spain, he did arrangements for an album by singer Helen Merrill. Shortly before Evans' death in March, he and Helen Merrill went back to the studio to re-record the material from their earlier record. Although Merrill has recorded more than 35 albums in her career, she's better known in Europe and Japan, where she lived for many years. Now she lives in New York City. I asked Helen Merrill how she and Gil Evans made the decision to re-record the old material.
He wanted to make a new record with me, and he was very enthusiastic and so on. But unfortunately, Gil's health was declining somewhat. He was having a problem with his eyes, and it was difficult for him to write. So we then thought of doing the old music over again, which is never really old. It's a form of classical music as far as I'm concerned.
I'd like to try something. Can we compare a song from the two records and see how they sound in the older version and the new version?
Sure.
Great. Why don't we start with the new record? And this is your new recording with arrangements by Gil Evans of I'm a Fool to Want You.
I'm a fool to want you. That can't be true. A love that's there for others too. I'm a fool.
Listening back to that, what do you think you did differently than in the first version?
Well, in the first place, it's a half tone lower.
<That's>, okay.
And in the second, well, I mean, I do a song differently every time I sing it. It's a different feeling. I've been a fool many times over since then, so I'd have a different view of being a fool, and I suspect it's reflected in my version.
You know, I just have to tell you, before we hear the first version of it, that I love the way you space in your phrasing, I'm a fool to want you. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I think of lyrics as a way of portraying what we are feeling inside and the way we speak normally and the peculiar things that go on in your head. And the words just sort of punctuate those feelings.
Okay, let's go back a little over 30 years and listen to your first recording of that with Gil Evans' arrangements. And this is Helen Merrill singing I'm a Fool to Want You.
I'm a fool. To want you, I'm a fool to want you, to want a love that can't be true, a love that's there for others too, I'm a fool.
What do you think about hearing that back now?
I think I did pretty well 30 years ago with the phrasing, and the music was certainly different. The key makes it sound quite different. The new record is a lot darker.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Yes, and Gil's conducting of the orchestra was entirely different. I think he was feeling differently, too, about music when we did the second record.
Would you explain what you mean by that?
Well, he was kind of feeling, I think, a little sadder than he did when we did the record 30 years ago. We had many conversations. He was very insulted by old age, and he was very frustrated by the inability of his body to respond to his brain. The problems with his eyes, and he just was insulted by old age, and his head was certainly not there. And so I think that was reflected in the way he performed the music.
The one new song that you recorded for the new record.
Ah, I like that one.
It's called Summertime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called Summertime. Well, we all know Summertime. Why did you choose Summertime as the one extra song?
Because I like it.
Uh-huh. It's a very striking interpretation.
Thank you. That's a wonderful jazz vehicle. And I knew that it would be something that I would enjoy doing with Gil. As simple as that.
I think it's a hard song to make fresh, since so many people have sung it already.
That's the beauty of jazz, though. You know, I think you can make everything fresh. I mean, there are so many ways to look at the emotions of those lyrics. I have sung it very angrily. I've sung it hopelessly and helplessly. I've sung it through the mind of the Universal Mother. You know, it's not at all a boring emotion. It's a very, very deep one that's going to exist forever. So it can't be boring. And as far as the music is concerned, that certainly is not. So, no, I don't think that you can do that song enough too many times.
Summertime. It's easy. Fish are jumping, the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, your mama's...
Your mother was a Seventh-day Adventist, right?
That's right.
When you started singing in clubs, did she oppose that?
My mother was not around to see that, but I can assure you she would have more than opposed it, yes.
She would have tried to prevent it.
Oh, no doubt about that, yeah.
So did you feel at all guilty about that?
I compensated.
How so?
Well, I was very shy, and I remained to myself pretty much, and I didn't put on too much perfume or lipstick on stage. Didn't go to too many dances until...
Didn't wear low-cut gowns?
No, definitely not. In fact, I used to forget to change my shoes sometime to go on stage. And one time, Dinah Washington caught me. She said, Helen, come back here. I have to talk to you. And you can't go on stage with shoes like that.
What were you wearing?
My Oxfords with an evening gown on. So, no, I wasn't too into what one was supposed to be into. You know, trying to be a star, but it was a lot to do with being Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah, really did.
You spent most of the 60s and 70s abroad, first living in Italy and then living in Japan. Why did you leave the United States?
Well, at that time, the only work available to me, and again, perhaps this is where the religion sort of came into it, but the only work available was a rotten, lousy, dirty jazz clubs and places I wouldn't go to visit if I... You know, I just wouldn't even step inside them. And it was degrading to work in places like that. And furthermore, there was no money. Mostly people would drink and make a lot of noise. And it was just not dignified. A lot of us left the country at that time. And I found, to my surprise, that I did a lot of television shows. I did things that I certainly didn't do at home.
When you came back to the United States sometime in the 70s, was it hard for you to re-enter the jazz scene which you were so anxious to leave before?
It wasn't the jazz scene that I was leaving, and I wouldn't want to re-enter that scene that I left. I still don't want that scene. That hasn't changed. It is, re-enter the world of music, the business of music, like recording and so on. Yes, it was difficult. Sure, it was very, very hard.
Do you have places to perform?
I'm always working. I work, I'm leaving for Japan on Sunday, and I'm doing 14 concerts. I have 2 hit records in Paris. I do concerts there all the time. I'm going to do, after that, a radio show in Sweden. Yes, I'm quite busy.
I think your new record is going to get you a lot more attention in the United States now.
That'd be very nice. You mean, oh, I hope so. I hope you're right. Then I can do those nice college dates and things in this country. That'd be very nice. I'd like it. Seriously.
Well, I wish you the best, and I thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Singer Helen Merrill. Her new album with the late Gil Evans is called Collaboration. It's on Polygram Records, which has also reissued a box set of the album she recorded for Mercury Records in the 1950s. The reissue is titled The Complete Helen Merrill. This is Fresh Air.